Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, Christ United, if God's been good to you, will you give him what he deserves right now? Yeah! I love that. We're talking about the master plan. I want to ask you, what's your plan? I was with a group of couples of young adults last night who were in our church. Instead of getting wasted or going to a party, they were sitting down doing what they call vision boards, where they were basically laying out what do we believe that God's called us to in the next year. It was absolutely beautiful because you could look at their boards and you could look at a picture of their plans, a picture of really them. You could see them in that picture. When it comes to seeing them, I want to ask you this question, and it sounds like a kind of ridiculous question, but who are you? When I was a teenager, I thought that was the most ridiculous question. It's like, are you Jason Bourne? Did you forget who you are? Reality is that the question of who are you really comes down to really who do people say that you are? Who do you feel that you are? Who do you believe that you are? There's a picture that I want you to get in your mind right now about who you are. And I just want you to use where you are right now at this point in time to do it. We've just left Christmas, and now you're looking forward to a new year. And I just want you to get a picture of who you are. A picture of me when I was about 17 years old. My picture was this. I come down the stairs Christmas morning and come into this kind of crisp, cold, cool room that's our den. And you can see the Christmas tree there. And you can smell the pine needles in the air. And then it had the big colored lights all over the tree and the tinsel hanging over it. And just past that, you could look out of the window and frost covered all the grounds and out into the fields around the farmhouse where I grew up. And so my brother was already down there tearing into a package, and I started looking, thinking, man, I'm hoping what I want's here. So I went after, I have delayed gratification as a part of my nature, so I went after the boxes that looked like underwear and socks first, and I opened one that was like this bag that looked like I had clothes, and it was a down vest, and I was kind of hoping that somebody would give me something for weightlifting because that's who I was. I was a weightlifter at that time. I had grown up being known as Skinny Mini, and I wanted to overcome that, And so I had won an award for being like one of the strongest guys pound for pound in our school, and I wanted to be weightlifter. So I'm looking for some weightlifting stuff in there. But what I really wanted, what I was really waiting on, I thought might be in this box. It was about 5 feet long, 8 inches wide, and that box, I thought, contained it. And sure enough, when I ripped into that box, it did. It was a Browning Belgium made automatic shotgun, 12 gauge, unbelievable. The most beautiful gun I'd ever laid my eyes on. And I'm like, man, that was it. And so because nobody gave me any weightlifting stuff, I took the vest. I took off my shirt and I put the vest around me, this no sleeve down vest, and put it around with no sleeves on it. And I grabbed my gun and somebody snapped a picture of me. And that captured me. It captured who I was. It captured where I was going to be going, what I was going to be doing. This was me. I was a duck hunting, weightlifting redneck. That's who I was, right? And that defined me, And here's the interesting thing. When you come to recognizing who you are, and honestly, that's really who I was. Kind of remind you of Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. I just had this image of who I was. But the actual truth about who you are is that it drives everything. It really does. Who you believe you are largely determines what you plan and what you do. I want you to think about that. Who you believe you are largely determines what you plan and what you do. And let me give you an illustration of that. For me, because I had this idea of who I was, I'm a weightlifter. You wouldn't believe how much energy and time I invested in weightlifting, how many thousands of hours during my youth and young adult years that I invested into weightlifting and it determined my goals. My year goal, biggest one on there was I want to bench 275 when I'm 17 years old. That's what I want to do. I want to bench 275. So all the energy and all the focus and all the drive toward that goal was because that's what defined me. As a duck hunter, you wouldn't believe how much energy I put into that. How much my goal that year was, I don't want just this gun. Now I need a Jeep and a boat. You know what I'm saying? And so to get my Jeep and my boat, you wouldn't believe how many hours I poured into working and to saving and doing everything to be able to buy that Jeep and buy that boat, because that was really fulfilling who I was. And so all my energy, all my focus, all my time, it's what I talked about, it's what I thought about, it's what I worked toward, it's where my money went, it's where my time went, it's where my energy went, was toward those goals, because that's who I was. Now here's the thing. I had never really, at that age, asked the question of God, who do you say that I am, right? Like, ask that. What if you were to say, God, who do you say that I am? And he were to actually tell you who he sees you as and who he created you to be. And that would be so far greater and so far more empowering and so far more energizing and exciting and motivating and significant than who you think you are. But before we ask that question, because before we leave here, I'm going to ask you to ask him the question, who do you say that I am? The first thing he would want to know is, but wait a minute, who do you say that I am? He wants to know who you say he is, because here's the truth. Who you believe Jesus is impacts who you believe you are. Now, at that time in my life, who Jesus was, lots of people around who do others say that he is. Like my dad said, basically, that he was a good moral teacher, and he's one that all the religious people and the Christians really wish you would like as much as they like and really wish you would talk about as much as they talk about. And he's good, not really harmful, but really not worth a lot of your time. In fact, we hunted together, and every now and then we would go to church in hip boots about once every 6 months, and God should be honored that we showed up, because Jesus was just that. He was a religious figure that some people liked a lot and wanted you to like a lot. But then my grandmother, he was the one that if you didn't believe in, you couldn't be saved. And then to a friend of mine, he was the one who was going to come in the clouds with the angels and trumpets, and he was going to then snatch up everybody who was in the church and everybody who wasn't in the church. He was going to torture them with scorpions and balls of fire. And another friend of mine said, well, who Jesus is he's loving. And if he is real, then he loves everybody. So you hadn't got to really worry about him. And all those ideas of who Jesus was totally impacted how each of those people lived their lives. And for me, my image of Jesus was in a robe and sandals, sitting with a child on his knee and a smile on his face. That was my image of Jesus, right? And so I thought Jesus was the central character in all the stories that I had heard. And yes, I think he probably lived 2,000 years ago. He was real, like Julius Caesar was real. Wait a minute, was Julius Caesar real? Antony, was he really a friend of Julius Caesar? Or was that a story from Shakespeare? I'm not really sure between history and whether it's a story. And it was the same way for me. I wasn't sure. But he was just this central figure in a story. He wasn't alive, he wasn't real, and he didn't really enter into the discussion when it came to who am I. It didn't impact me at all. But here's the truth. If you think about the fact that he did create you, and you think about if you ever get hold to actually who he really is, it would radically change everything. Because I want to tell you, as soon as I understood who he really is, my life was dramatically altered. My plans were dramatically altered. Everything I did was dramatically altered from that point forward. And here's the truth. For you, you may come today. When I look back on that picture of me, I'm going like, I can't believe I was ever that guy. You know, was it really that important to me? Was killing a duck really worth all the hours I put in and all the money I spent? Was it really? Was I really that invested in how much my bench press was or what my chest size was? Was that really me? I can hardly even believe it. And I want to tell you that if you get hold of who Jesus is, you may look back on your idea of who you are and go, I can't believe I ever thought that. And you may say to yourself, but I've never been as weird as you were, Jeff. But here's the reality. Whether your goal is, you know, I want to be a wealthy, powerful man or a beautiful, intelligent woman or however you see yourself, whatever you are and you define yourself. I'm an athlete. I'm a musician. I'm an artist. I'm a designer or a programmer, or I'm an architect, or I'm a carpenter, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a student. I'm an A student, or I'm a failure, or I'm I'm a person who is, I'm a server or a chef or a doctor or a lawyer or an administrative assistant. I'm a business owner. I'm just an hourly wage worker, or I'm unemployed. But you define yourself by something. I'm a pretty girl, or I'm a handsome guy, or maybe I feel fat and I feel ugly. But you have a definition of who you are, and that definition of who you are shapes what you plan and what you do. It determines where you spend your time, where you spend your effort, where you spend your energy, what you pursue. It totally impacts what you think when you look forward to 2017 and how you feel about 2016. And so God's saying, I want to get you a whole different picture. And you could, in a snapshot moment, everything could change for you. It did for this guy, who most of you know. His name is Peter. And what you find in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, is that Peter and the other disciples were in Caesarea Philippi, a place where they had just gone, and Jesus was with them. And Jesus started asking the question. He said, who do people say that I am? It was this essential question. And they responded by saying, well, some people say you're John the Baptist, and some say that you're Elijah. Others say that you're Elijah. Others say that you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he says, but who do you? What about you? Who do you say that I am? What about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter replied, he answered by saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response to him was to say, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And then he says some very profound stuff. But before we go to the profound stuff, I want you to get hold of this. What happened for Peter is Peter had been around Jesus for a long time, for years, you know, 2 or 3 years. And after having been around Jesus and seen a lot of things and all kinds of stuff, it finally got it. He finally zeroed in and said, wait a minute, I realize who you really are. I have been in church lots of times over a lifetime. I had gone to Sunday school. I'd heard all the stories. I would have said I believed in Jesus. But in terms of who I believed he was, there came a point for me where just like Peter, it was like all of a sudden, wait a minute, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want you to realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. What Peter was getting hold of was this. When he says, you're the Christ, get this, the Christ, the central figure in all of human history, the Christ, the one who would bring hope to every human being on the planet. He was not just the hope of Israel, but through Israel is the hope of the world. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're not a story figure. You're not someone pointing us in a better direction. You're not a good moral teacher. You are the Son of the living God. You are the hope of the world. You are the answer to everything. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. You're everything. Amen. And when that hit him, it's like everything began to change. And the response that Jesus had to that was to say this, look, Peter, you need to thank God. You are blessed, Peter, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. This wasn't revealed to you by man, by a human being, but the Father, my Father in heaven, has revealed this to you. So you wonder, how do you come to that conclusion that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Here's how. There is a living God, and he lives around you. He even lives in you and through you. He's just saying, look, I will tell you. I will reveal to you that this is my Son. I remember when it happened for me, and I remember that it radically altered my world. But up until that point, all the Sunday school lessons, everything I'd been through, did not matter. The only thing that ultimately mattered was the God who created me, who you and I know from the core of our being, we are aware that we were made by him. When all of a sudden it was clear to me, the God who created me is saying, this is my Son, listen to him. This is my Son, obey him. This is my Son, follow him. This is my Son. When the Creator of the universe tells you that, that's when everything changes. My Father, who I had spent years after I had come to Christ, I kept trying to tell him, Dad, don't you get it? This is the Son of God. My dad's a lawyer, so I'm giving him all kinds of books with all kinds of facts. And I'm saying, the evidence is overwhelming. Just accept the reality. He's the Son of God. And the reality is, no matter how overwhelming the evidence was, he just couldn't accept it. He said, I just don't know that I can accept that. And I said, don't you see the evidence? Yes, I do, but I still can't accept it. And I said, so I want you to try something, Dad. I just want you to say to the God of your understanding, if Jesus is your Son, I want to love him. If he's not, I want nothing to do with him. And within a very short period of time, my dad's life was radically altered. And his entire future was radically altered because the God who spun this universe into order has a son named Jesus. And that God who created you is right now, even in this moment, making you aware, wait a minute, Jesus is not just a moral teacher. He's not just a story from a Sunday school book. He's my son. He's the son of the living God. And I sent him to bring hope to every single one of you. And he tells you that, it changes everything. And so, how does it change everything? What is it that about this that radically alters you? What radically alters you when God says to you, who do you say that I am? When Jesus says to you, who do you say that I am? When you get it that he's the Christ, the son of the living God, why does it change everything? It's because it's only after you know who he is that you have any way of knowing who you are. Do you understand that? Until you understand who he is, you have no way of understanding who you are. But as soon as you begin to understand who he is, all of a sudden who you are comes into focus and gets clear. In fact, right after Peter had said to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus responds back to Peter by saying, and I tell you that you are Peter. Now, Peter means rock. He had said way early on when he first met Peter, you can be called rock. You know that? His name was Simon. It was a good name. Means to listen, maybe even obey. He had a good name, but he was saying, no, you hadn't understood your purpose until now. And now, Peter, you're going to understand you're the rock. And he says, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. You mean he's got a plan, and his plan to save the world is going to be built around me? And then he says this, and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven? You mean you're going to give me ownership over this? And then he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Imagine if you're Peter and all of a sudden the Son of the living God, the hope of the world, says, I am the Son of the living God. I am the one who brings hope to everyone on the planet. I have a master plan for how to do that, and you are at the core of that plan. You're my plan, buddy. Imagine what happens if the Son of God tells you you're the plan. Do you think that altered Peter's plans? Do you think it altered the way he spent his time and his energy and his focus, what he thought about, what he talked about, what he did from that point forward? Would it change yours if that happened? And that's exactly what happened to him. And you may be saying to yourself, but wait a minute. That's Peter. Peter is the rock. In other words, Peter must have been the most perfect human being on the planet, and he must be the one that always gets it right, and he must be the one that would never make a mistake. And Jesus chose Peter because Peter was going to keep everything on track, and he was the rock. See, he was the first pope. He was the one that was going to get it all, and he's going to get everybody to God, and everything's right. Right? And reality is the next thing that happened right after he said that, y'all remember, is Peter made his first stick his foot in his mouth, huge mistake, and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Next thing that happened. And then after that, right before his crucifixion, he said to Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Three times you're going to deny that you even know me. And then, even later, as Peter's leading and helping to bring the church to be what the church is supposed to be, Paul, a person who came to Christ later, who was far from God, said this of Peter. He said, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. So Peter didn't always get it right. Peter didn't think, nor did the disciples think, that what Jesus was saying was, Peter, you're the man. What he was calling attention to is, Peter, you're the first one to get it. And on you, I'm going to build something as others get it that the world will never be able to change. And so what he was saying was, Peter, you got it. You know, here's the truth. The Bible says that there's only one foundation, all right? It says no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Peter wasn't the foundation. Jesus was the foundation. So why did he call him the rock? We just got finished starting a course of brick around this building, and it's cool. Starting right there, you know, you got a cornerstone in a building, right? And you got this cornerstone, and you begin to lay block from there as you go around. And the truth was, is Peter's the first one to be laid on that foundation of Jesus. You're the rock. I'm going to build the whole church on this. But Peter, why? Because Peter was just the first one to get it. But then guess what? Then James and John would get it. And then Peter and Andrew and Matthew and Bartholomew would get it. And they would be built in too and built in too. Jesus was saying, Peter, you got the relationship first. You recognized who I was. You're in relationship with me. I'm going to change you. And I'm going to use you. And you're going to work to change others. And you're going to see me work in their lives. And others will be added. And it's going to be like a building being built. Right? And so Peter said it this way. He said, and you, speaking of you, and you come to him, the living stone, that is Jesus. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. You see, you are rocks as well. You're living stones. Peter was just the first stone in. Do you get the picture? He was the first one connected with Jesus, the foundation. He was the first one in that relationship where he acknowledged who he was and was a part of his purpose. But then would come James and John and Andrew and Philip and Matthew and Bartholomew, and others would be built into that. It was just the beginning of him building this amazing thing called his church. The church, a gathering of people for the purpose of changing the world. Not a physical building, but a living building, a group of people that God would work through so that every person on the planet would be impacted. That's what he was doing. Peter's not the only one to get it. Paul got it. He said to the Ephesians, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And then he says, and in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You get it? God's saying, it started with Peter because Peter was the first one to acknowledge who I am, and I told him who he was, but then he was going to help other people see who I am, and they would realize who he was and who they were, and they would invite others into that relationship, and they would keep all growing to connect with Jesus and become like him, and he would build this beautiful thing called the body of Christ, a living temple, a living body, reaching out into every corner of the world, relationship after relationship, changing the world one relationship at a time. It had begun with Peter. Yeah, give God a hand for that. That's awesome. Now, I want you to know that when you think about this idea and you think, but Peter was special because Peter could forgive sins, you know? I mean, Peter could keep people in or out of heaven, and that's the reason the Pope can keep people in or out of heaven, and you got all this kind of really messed up thinking around that whole idea. The reality is that the very thing, same thing he said to Peter, he said to all of his apostles. He said this way to them when he got ready to leave. He said, again, I say to you, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he said this, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Do you get a picture of what he was saying? He was saying, guys, here's the deal. From now on, everything I've done is now done through you. People won't know forgiveness unless it's through you. If you don't get it to them, they don't get it. And so from this point forward, I laid the foundation, Peter's brought in, James and John are brought in, and relationship after relationship, you guys are going to be the one. They're going to bring forgiveness to those who don't know forgiveness, are going to bring hope to those who don't know hope. You, it all rests on you doing what you're called to do. I've got a plan and you're it. Do you get that picture? He said it not just to Peter, he said it to all the apostles. I've got a plan and you're the plan. I've got a way of bringing forgiveness to the world and you're that way. If you do it, it'll be done. If you don't do it, it won't be done. Imagine what that felt like to those apostles to have that. But guess what? The Bible teaches that it wasn't just the apostles. The Bible actually teaches that this whole idea of His Spirit being poured out and us taking on that responsibility is given to everyone in the church. The day the church was born, His Spirit was poured out into everybody there who was a follower of Christ. And what was happening was God was saying, I'm going to work through every one of you. I'm bringing every one of you stone by stone into this thing called my body. And together, you guys are going to make a difference and you're going to change the world. And so, as soon as you begin to recognize then who Jesus is, all of a sudden you realize who you are. The way that John said it was, How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. All of a sudden you realize, I'm a child of the living God. And the Son of the living God has invited me to His plan to change the world. And He's doing it in and through me. Just like He did it in and through Peter. And just like He did it in and through James and John and Matthew. Do you get the picture? God saying, I've got a purpose for you beyond what you imagine. You had no idea who you were, but I'm telling you who you are. You're just like Peter. You know what He was saying to Peter? Peter, you get it. I'm the Son of the living God. I'm the Messiah. I'm the hope. And what I'm going to do, Peter, is I'm going to pour into you, and I'm going to get you living like me, and then you're going to be getting others into that same relationship, and it's not just be you anymore. Then it's going to be you hooked up with James and John and Andrew and Bartholomew and Philip, and you guys are just going to begin bringing others in one relationship at a time, and you're going to go out into the world, and you're going to offer forgiveness where there's been no forgiveness, offer hope where people feel no hope. You're going to actually bring hope to this world. You guys are. And so listen to this. You, now this is speaking of you. You are at the heart of His plan. That's Jesus' plan to bring hope to the world one relationship at a time. Now, yeah, thank you. Now, here's the thing, guys. You, please, as much as Peter was core to this plan, you are core to this plan. You're just in that wall up here as opposed to the first brick. He's saying, I've been building my church, this living body, this beautiful picture of relationship after relationship. And just like somebody brought you and showed you the love of Jesus and helped you to learn to live like Jesus, now you're going to continue to learn to live like Jesus with other people that you're going to say, let's do this together. And they're going to say to others, let's do this together. And they're going to say to others, let's do this together. And I'm going to change the world through you. I'm going to bring hope through you. Guys, right now, you are His plan. And you being His plan changes everything. Imagine for Peter when it came to where he spent his time, his money, his energy, his focus. I don't know. The Bible doesn't necessarily say whether he ever cast a net or not after like John chapter 20. But if he cast nets and he fished and if he sold them to help pay his family's bills, you know, that just didn't define him. Do you understand? And neither did making tents define Paul. And I'm sure that they were pretty healthy guys. They did a lot of walking and they stayed in good shape. They probably ate well, but they didn't define themselves by that. How do you define yourself? Who are you? Who are you? Are you a musician or an artist? Or are you a carpenter? I talked to a precious lady this morning who was here, and she said, I'm a pastry chef. And I just want to know how I can use being a pastry chef in God's kingdom. That's what I want to find out. Can I do it to feed hungry people? Can I do it? I want to find out how what God wired me to do fits into this. Does that make sense to you? And God's saying, that's who you are, guys. That's who you are. And you bringing people into relationship with me is why you were on the planet to begin with. And so this truth blows your mind that Jesus would then say to His disciples, I mean, right after He said, Peter, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven and all this kind of stuff. Then He says the most just ironic statement, don't tell anyone that I'm the Christ. After this, Jesus warned His disciples not to tell anyone that He was the Christ. And you go like, why in the world would He not? Do you understand why He didn't? This is so beautiful. It is so profound and so powerful and so beautiful. Jesus was saying, I don't even need to be distracted by getting crowds of people to rah-rah that I'm the Son of God. I've started the process that will change this world. I have shown you the real me, Peter. And I've shown the real me to you, James and John. Now you need to show the real me to other people who in turn show the real me to other people. I want you to make disciples. I want you to make people who learn to follow me and learn to live like me. I want you to invite other people to live in relationship with you just like I've lived in relationship with you. And that is how I'm going to change the world. So don't even tell anybody. I need to spend my time just getting you on track. And then after I leave here, my church is going to begin, and one relationship at a time, we're going to change the world. And so for you, let me ask you the question. Do you realize that the moment you realize who He is and who you are, His plans begin to change your plans? I mean, as soon as I realized who He was, I remember the night when it happened. I remember where I was when it happened. And all of a sudden, I realized who He was. All of a sudden, His plans began to change my plans. I still lifted weights. I've lifted weights my whole life. You wouldn't know it, but I did. But all of a sudden, whether I benched 275 really didn't seem to matter. All of a sudden, I started realizing that I've got some way more important things to think about than the circumference of my waist or my chest. Do you understand? I still hunted ducks. Kind of wonder why, but I still hunted ducks. Some, but somehow it just wasn't what drove my life anymore. And it wasn't who defined me and what defined me. All of a sudden, I wasn't a duck hunter. All of a sudden, I wasn't a weightlifter. All of a sudden, I may have still been a redneck, but all of a sudden, I realized who I was. The Son of the Living God has a plan to change this world. And I'm His plan. And you're His plan. And that changed everything. Guys, it changed everything for my dad. I remember my dad, after he finally came to just, he asked the question to the God of his understanding, is Jesus your son? And he said, yes. And it changed everything. In his late 50s, he went from, I'm going to live in the Keys on a boat, to I'm going to grow flowers and deliver one to the room of every single person in Horry County who's in a nursing home that doesn't have somebody loving them. And he did it for years. And he used to give and care and share. And I remember him saying, God's just made me the delivery boy. That's all. I'm His delivery boy. I just deliver whatever He says to deliver. And I'm going, He got it, man. He got it. God's got a plan to change this world, and I'm a part of that plan. And so, guys, you've been hearing us talk about C group, C group, C group. Do you know all C group is? This is so profound and so simple. C group is our way of following His plan. That's all it is. You know what C group does? C group simply takes what Jesus did with Peter and teaches us how to do it. That's what C group does. C group just simply takes the way Jesus transformed Peter's life and taught Peter to transform other lives and taught Peter to build the church, to change the world, and we've got it condensed down to something that's extremely simple to understand. You could take a C group guide, get two other people who want to grow to be like Jesus, and start tomorrow. You could download the app, you could take that piece of cardboard that was handed to you, that beautiful piece of cardboard, and you could do that starting tomorrow. You commit yourself to it, though, and here's why I want to tell you this. When I was a weightlifter, I was committed to lifting weights. I did it all the time. Regardless of what else fell by the side, I always lifted. When I was a duck hunter, I would be up at 3:30 in the morning. If I showed up to church, it was in hip boots because my priority was duck hunting. It determined where I spent my time, my money, my energy, my effort, my focus. It's what I talked about. It's what I thought about. I was a duck hunter. But when I realized that I was a child of the living God and the Son of the living God, the hope of the world has a plan to change this world, and I and you are that plan, all of a sudden, my priorities of time and investment and everything just shifted. So when I ask you, are you going to plan on being here if you're a woman Tuesday morning at 10 or Tuesday night at 6:30? If it meant you having to change something, cancel something, get away from something, do something different, are you going to be there? Then I would hope you would say, it's the least I could do. It's who I am. Do you understand? It's who I am. It's the least I can do. When I ask you if you're a man, if you're going to plan on Monday night, a week from now, be there. And if you can't be there, you're going to find out everything you can find out. We got another one coming up later, but I'm going to be a part of this. If I were to ask you right now, is it worth you scheduling an hour a week every single week and be radically committed to it? I will not miss it to be with two or three other people learning to live like Jesus. Is it worth that hour a week? Plus travel time, make it two. Is it worth 2 hours of your week? Reality is it's who you are. It's worth every minute of every day to be a part of what He's doing to change this world. Lord God, would You do something in us and through us? Would You waken us and help us to begin to see who You really are? I want to pray right now for people in this room who have never seen You for who You truly are. you're still the main character in the storybook. But I pray that before they leave this room, they would know that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, the hope of the world, the answer to everything. And Lord God, I pray as you show us who you truly are, that each and every one of us who just look to you today and say, who do you say that I am? That you'll just tell us who we are. We're yours. We're yours. We're yours. Let everything we do, let everything we do fulfill your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to stand, and this altar is open. I hope that a lot of people will just come and lay down your life before him and say, God, use me. If you hadn't noticed it before up front, there are a bunch of banners. These banners represent people that we love and care about who we want to help bring closer to Christ. And so I invite you to come down and fill out the name of somebody else that you might. And there's a little piece of paper on the back of the banners, and there's going to be somebody's going to bring them to us. But I think they're over there at the crosses. Is that where they are? Is that where they are? Okay, at the crosses. Go to the crosses, and there's a place where you can get a banner, a prayer banner, if you'd like one. And you grab that prayer banner, and you write the name of anybody you would like to influence, like Peter influenced and like others can influence. Somebody I want to see come to Jesus or grow in Jesus in relationship with me. And write their names and bring them and lay them here at the altar, and we'll put them up for you later during the week. We invite you to come, and I hope that from this moment forward, you'll be all about who you really are, doing what he really created you to do. And Lord, as we're in your presence, we pray for all those who have come to kneel at the altar, all those who are standing in the seats, for every one of us in this room. We pray, God, that you would allow us the joy and the privilege, like Peter, of knowing you personally, of being in relationship with you. By your Holy Spirit, we know that we can walk even closer with you than Peter did. And so, Lord God, we ask that you would allow us, by your Spirit, by your presence, God, to just like Peter, walk in that love relationship with you. And Lord God, we thank you so much for helping us to grow in that love relationship just like Peter did. Lord, thank you that you can use us like those rocks. That God, you can use us as stones, that you can connect us with you and then others through us. And through us, you can make a difference in this world. Thank you. Help us to be the people you want us to be. And Lord God, we pray for all those that are named on these banners, all those who are far from you, who don't know you, that they would come to know you, and all those who have come to know you, that they would grow in the same way to love you passionately and to be in relationship with you, and that they in turn would reach out and invite others into that relationship, and that your church would just keep on growing and the world would keep on being powerfully impacted by your plan, your church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look, right now I want to ask you, if you're here and you're just realizing, wait a minute, I may have been around church my whole life, but until this moment I have never really acknowledged that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the God who created me, the God of this universe, is saying to my heart right now, Jesus is my son, listen to him. Jesus is my son, trust him, obey him. Jesus, my son, died for you. You're hearing that in your heart right now, that Jesus died to pay the price for your sins personally, that all your sins have been completely eradicated and washed away because Jesus, the Son of the living God, died in your place and has taken away all of your sin. And you know it right now. And you know that right now he's saying, I want you to follow my son. I want you to love my son. I want you to have a relationship through my Holy Spirit with my son, because I want you to have his love in your heart. And you hear God saying that you right now, and you're saying, God, I want to be your child. I want to know your son, Jesus. I want to love him, and I want to learn to live like Jesus lived. And I want to reach out and love other people and invite them to keep learning with me. And we're going to keep growing, and we're going to keep doing what you called us to do. And can you say to him right now, God, today I want to say you have given your son, Jesus, and he is the Christ. He is your son, and you are the living God, and I trust him. And right now, I acknowledge he is the Lord of my life, and I will spend the rest of my life being a part of what he's doing, to bring hope where there is no hope, to bring forgiveness where there is no forgiveness, to changing the world. Today, I become your child. Today, I become a servant of Jesus. Today, I become one more stone in building a living temple that will change this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, guys, if that was you, it's the most important decision you ever made in your whole life. It changes everything. Long before I decided to become a pastor, when I was still going to be a professor in college, or when I was planning on being a real estate entrepreneur, it didn't matter. It still defined who I was. It changed everything. I just want to ask you, if that was you, you don't let this day go by. This is the most important decision you ever make. In just a second, I want you to just lift up your hand and say, I made that decision today, and we're going to celebrate that. And don't be ashamed, because if you're ashamed in here, you'll be ashamed out there. You say, He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't mind the whole world knowing it. And when you do that, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Before you leave here, I'm going to ask you to go to the prayer booth and just let them over there give you a Bible and pray for you and encourage you and help you to begin this relationship as His son, as His servant. All right? So anybody over here will say, today, for me, He became the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is my Lord. He's my God, my all. Anybody here? Raise your hand if that was you. Right there. You go. You go. Yes. Yes. Anybody else? Anybody in the top? Anybody in the top? Lift it high. Anybody in the top? Anybody in the middle right here? Anybody in the middle right here? Did I see a hand? Let me see. If that was raising a hand, raise it back up. All right? All right. How about down in here? Anybody else down in the center section that this is you and this is your day? Anybody up here? Right there. You go. Yes. Okay. Anybody over here? Anybody over here? How about down in here? Is anybody over here who's made that decision today? I just want to say this. The Bible says there's more joy over one person who has come to that decision and become a part of what He's doing to change your life and change the world. More joy over you than over 99 that are already His. And so right now, for the two of you who made that commitment today, we want y'all to hear it, that you're the most important people in the room. And we celebrate that with all of our hearts. If you're near somebody who lifted their hand, if you'll say to them right now, just say to them right now, I'll walk with you. As soon as we get dismissed, I'll walk with you and I'll go over to the prayer booth with you. Now look, guys, on your way out, here's the truth. Over the next 4 weeks, you're going to hear how these C groups take exactly what Jesus did for Peter and taught Peter to do and taught the disciples to do, how to build His church. And C group just does that. That's what C group does. But you're going to learn it over these next 4 weeks, and it is going to be awesome. You're going to love it. The next 4 weeks are going to rock. And so be back for the next 4 weeks and see exactly how Jesus intends to use you to change the world. Anybody here who's all in to say, God, You can use me, we invite you to lift your hands. Guys, on your way out, there's going to be a chance to give. It's part of what we do to honor God and change the world is to give toward this purpose and toward this end. But if you're a visitor with us, that isn't our desire for you. Our desire is for you to know Him. And for every hand lifted and every person in this room, just know this, that He created you to love you, and for you to be in a relationship with Him and reach out to others and bring them into relationship with Him is the reason you're alive. Let that be what defines you. Go out of here knowing that you are a child of the living God. He has a plan to change the world, and you're that plan. Get to it. Amen? Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.